Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What we're asking you on the show, Penzo, performance line is simple. Everybody's talking about Wilder Fury 2. How close is the heavyweight division in boxing to being back? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get your take in. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll read some of those tweets. We'll get some of your take coming in. But we're going to start this hour with some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it came in the way of NBA debate. I was just saying that Joel Embiid told the world he's the best player in the world. I don't know that that's certainly the case, as Giannis Antetokounmpo has put up a heck of a season. The question is Giannis a lock for NBA MVP? Max and Stephen A. debated it today on First Take.
If the season were to end today, Giannis would have the highest single season PER in the history of basketball, higher than any season Wilt or MJ or LeBron or Kareem ever had.
Incredible.
He is doing absurd things and he's winning, Stephen A. It's a lock.
It's not a lock. Not at all. And here's the reason why. There's some dude in LA by the name of LeBron James that is averaging 25 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, shooting nearly 50% from the field, and they happen to have the second best record in basketball at 41-12. And also, by the way, they are renowned for clearly playing in a deeper and stronger conference than the Eastern Conference. Now, I'm not saying that Giannis isn't the front runner. He's the reigning league MVP, and the way that he has looked and the way that the Milwaukee Bucks have been playing. If the season were to end today, of course Giannis repeats as league MVP. But my point is there's 30-plus games to go. What if the Lakers end up having a similar record to the Milwaukee Bucks? Then you take into, and what if it is because LeBron James puts forth a Herculean performance to go for the league MVP award at age 35 in his 17th season? The Lakers lock up the number one seed. They have a record pretty identical to the Milwaukee Bucks. They're in the West as opposed to the Eastern Conference. I got news for you. There's plenty of people that go like this and say LeBron James will be the MVP.
AD.
Huh?
He has AD.
What did I just say? What is AD without LeBron? It's the Pelicans.
But Giannis has a deeper team, a more well-balanced team.
But he doesn't have a guy like Anthony Davis.
But other people could argue, well, Davis is sucking away some stats from LeBron. Here's the bottom line. LeBron got 10 assists a game. He's the point guard. Giannis got 6 assists a game. He's not the point guard. Giannis got almost 14
boards. Because Budenholzer, you and I recognize as one of the elite coaches in the game, tells Giannis, kick it out to wide open threes because everyone has to guard Giannis down low. So he kicks it out
to his credit that he does that.
Time out. But what I'm saying to you is, I'm not taking any credit away from him. What I'm saying is, it is different when you get the ball and you kick it out to an open three. It's different than when you bring the ball up the court, you're driving into the lanes, causing attention, they're kicking it out to guys who, by the way, can't shoot because the Lakers need to shoot better.
The Western Conference does not make up for 5 points, 7 boards, and better defense. defense a game for Giannis.
It will if the Lakers, because if the Lakers' record ends up being close to identical to Milwaukee's, it will make up for
that. You really think that LeBron, who's logged too many minutes already, especially early in the season, who played both ends of the floor too hard already, even though his defense still wasn't as good as Giannis's, and you know, he's going all out. You really think he's going to double down and elevate that level of energy?
I did not say that. What I said is,
No.
You don't get to change the question in the narrative. I said it's not a lock. I'm not saying that Giannis isn't the favorite and he wouldn't get the award today. But what I'm saying is stuff could happen. You don't sit up there and shut down the rest of the season and Giannis has the award.
I don't even know.
It's a lot that it's a few things that could happen.
I think it's more likely that things happen that put LeBron in third or fourth place for the MVP. Well, look what Luka's doing. Look what James Harden's doing. What if those teams make little moves?
If we have questions about Miami and we have questions about Boston, Toronto, and Philadelphia, inevitably being in the Eastern Conference, if LeBron gains steam in the West and the Lakers continue to do what they're doing, he could be used as an excuse to held against the Greek.
I
wouldn't hold it against the Greek freak, but it could happen.
I got to tell you something. This whole Eastern Conference, Western Conference thing has changed in recent years. The West is still better, but it is way closer than it used to be. Think of the number of teams you just mentioned. Boston, we have questions about them. Actually, my question is, are they as good as anyone when they're healthy? Because they seem to be. We have questions about Philadelphia. Why can't they win on the road? At home, they're the best team ever.
What team out of the East do you think has a chance to beat anybody in the West?
I think if Philadelphia,
other than Milwaukee.
I think if Philadelphia gets it together late,
they won't.
I don't know about that.
Vincent,
I don't know about
won't.
That. I think Philly's live. I think Miami, if they played the Clippers, would be a really interesting series.
I love Miami, but they're a piece away.
I think the Boston Celtics are probably
they're not deep enough.
Lakers aren't deep either.
I know. Listen, the Lakers are the Lakers are in a Western Conference led by two of the top five players on the planet, and I'm just saying, you look at the Western Conference. Ultimately, being in the East. If it's close, being in the East will hurt the Greek.
You're right. The West, I said, is a little better, but it's not like it was 5 years ago. The conferences are much closer.
It was horrible five years ago.
But the freak is outplaying LeBron. He's not like a little better than LeBron this year. He's way better than everyone this year.
I would
LeBron's
say way better.
Three or four other
I wouldn't
dudes.
Say way better.
Freak
Everybody's got
himself.
Different responsibilities. I wouldn't say way better. I don't think anybody's way better than LeBron James this year. I wouldn't say that.
18 points per game in the paint, the most since your boy Shaq.
Yeah. That's nice.
Giannis is so vicious. Shaq said, he gets to carry the Superman nickname.
Because of how he plays. That's what Shaq wants you dunking on people. He doesn't want you being soft. If you yamming it down people's throat, averaging 30 that way,
brother,
Shaq loves you.
He's a seven-footer who shoots. By the way, he shoots a bunch of threes. He's shooting 31%
I'm only highlighting because obviously Shaq's my man and I talk to him. And I'm only highlighting what his definition of that is.
No doubt.
If you play like him, Shaq is going to love
you. But that's what I'm saying. Giannis kind of plays like Shaq.
Yes, he does.
But he also sort of plays like a guy like Ben Simmons or LeBron at times. Giannis shoots from the outside. Giannis is a willing and excellent passer, laser beams across the court. Giannis is just a winning player,
Giannis is a winner. Giannis is the league MVP. He is a superstar in this game. All I'm trying to say is that the race for the league MVP is closer than you're giving credit for.
Let me ask you this
quickly. That's all I'm saying.
We have a great game tomorrow on ABC, 76ers at Bucks. Any chance you think Philly wins that?
At the Bucks?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no.
I don't think they're going to win either, especially if Simmons is compromised or not there. But I'll say this. Of all the teams in the East, I think the Sixers are the worst matchup for the Bucks. And if I'm a Milwaukee fan,
I
do not want to see a series in Philadelphia because the way they play at home, the Sixers, they just have to steal one game on the road.
Your mind is in the wrong place. How the hell are you going to bring that up and miss this? Joel Embiid just finished talking smack last night after beating
the
Brooklyn Nets.
He's the best player in the world.
He's the best player in the world. Well, you getting ready to go up against the Greek Freak. What you going to do?
They always
what
ball.
What you going to do?
Both of them always ball against each other.
What I'm saying is, a couple of times this year that hasn't been the case. All I'm saying is, in this particular situation, you just finished talking after you beat the Nets. So I expect Joel Embiid to show up against the Greek Freak.
The last time these two played was on Christmas, if memory serves. That's the last time I remember them playing. Embiid won and gave the Freak 30-something and like 16.
Yeah, the last time. And there was a time before that they didn't show up.
First take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I feel like I'm the guy that's just carrying the torch at this point for the Bucks. And I realize that sometimes things look too simple, and we like to make things too complicated. But is Giannis the MVP of the league? To me, yeah. I mean, he was the MVP last year, and he's better this year than he was last year. I think he's clearly better than he was last year. And at some point, that has to matter. Look, I get it. If LeBron, we can make the argument LeBron's been the MVP of the league every single year he's been in the league. I understand that conversation. Who are the Bucks without, however you define MVP, who are the Bucks without Giannis right now? Who's the most unstoppable player in the East? Who's the best player in the East? Who is probably the best player in the NBA? The answer to all of that to me is Giannis. He's a matchup nightmare, and he's played even better than he played last year. Now, I get it. He got shut down by Kawhi in the playoffs. I will continue to say this. If getting shut down by Kawhi in the playoffs is a reason to give up on a player, then give up on basically everybody. But when you look across the spectrum of the East, you tell me who's going to stop him now. There's no Kawhi now. Who's going to stop him? I mean, look, what the Raptors have been able to do, and Nick Nurse particularly as a coach there, has been special. Siakam has been absolutely incredible, and it's been fun to watch. The Celtics have all the talent in the world. Fine. The 76ers? I just told you, I don't think you can bank on Embiid because you can't bank on consistency. And if you can't ask for consistency from a player, you can't ask for a player to be great. Giannis is consistently great. And Giannis has been shut down one time in a major way in his career against a player that was on a mission with a team that seemed like they were the team of destiny. I'm not going to hold that against him right now. Going into this, it's clear to me, Giannis Antetokounmpo is playing better than anybody in the NBA today. He's the best player in the NBA today, and he is clearly the MVP, if not for anything else other than the body of work of what he's already accomplished this year. We're taking something very simple, and we're making it super complicated. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. That's Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart. We'll keep getting the straight talk, but I want to get the straight talk from you guys. First Take, Your Take. The best part about it is we get your take. And the question we're asking you, everybody's got their eyes on the fight coming into this weekend, Wilder Fury 2. So with all of the hype that this fight is getting, and it's getting an alarming amount of hype, is heavyweight boxing back? Is that division back to where everybody wants to talk about it? Glenn in Dallas, what are your thoughts? What's your take? Is heavyweight boxing back?
I am so happy it's back, man. I got so tired of the lightweight, middleweight, man. I mean, that heavyweight is what's really going on, but you haven't really had a heavyweight since Tyson, really, that was really worth, like, tuning into, better yet, paying for it through pay-per-view. I need some heavyweight. I need some bruisers, man. And Wilder is bringing it back, man. I started watching him, like, 2 years ago, and ever since that point, man, I've been watching this guy. You know, his punch is a little wild, but he'll knock you out, man. And that's what I've been looking for, that heavyweight, man.
Well, and thanks for the call. You are so right. And Fury's got so much of a story. So I feel like you have a great boxer versus a great story in this match. And that's part of why it's got everybody captivated. The other thing, though, is like what you just said. I mean, again, I'll be honest. Like, it's just us talking here, right? We can be honest with each other for a minute. How many of you guys made a friend when you were a kid in the Tyson era? You made a friend just because you knew they got the pay-per-view. Didn't really care about the kid. You just knew that if you started hanging out with him right now, you'd have a shot and an invite to the pay-per-view. We all did it. I did it for two things when I was a kid. I did it for anything Tyson was going to do, and I did it for anything the WWF was going to do. That's what, the only way you could get to it was to have a pay-per-view friend. So we all had that friend that was a pay-per-view friend because you wanted to watch Tyson. And the crazy thing is you were spending a ton of money to watch a fight you knew was only going to last 30 seconds. Why? Because it was a spectacle. Now, some of that spectacle from lower weight classes, when you talk about lightweights, you talk about middleweights, some of that spectacle, I believe that that thunder has been stolen by MMA in general. Because you get that explosiveness in MMA. You get that, oh my God, he dropped him doing what moment in MMA. You get that so quickly. But the heavyweight division, oh man, when you got two big boys going at it, when you got two just beefy guys that are in there going at it, I know, beefy, my favorite way, it doesn't feel boxing oriented at all, right? But when you get that, that is what gets everybody's attention. That's where I think boxing can separate from MMA and anything UFC is doing. From size, we want to see two massive human beings go at it with absolutely all the power that they possibly have. Jake in South Carolina, what's your take? How close, where are we on heavyweight boxing? Is it back?
Hey, Fizz, thanks for taking my call, man. It's awesome to talk to you. I don't think it's as close as we think, honestly. Not to be the Debbie Downer, just, I mean, this is a huge fight. I mean, it's all over the TV, everything. I mean, it's a huge fight. and I think it's going to be a great fight, but we need more big names, man. Like, the reason we can't keep up with the MMA and stuff like that is just because there's not enough of the big names, specifically the American names. Now, with these two, you got Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. I know he's from the UK, but, you know, that kind of, I mean, the language barrier, it's not blocked off because he's from the UK, but we don't have enough of the big names yet. And you had, like, the Mayweather and the Conor McGregor fight. That was kind of an anomaly with McGregor coming over, but I just want to see some more big names that'll make the sport bigger. Not to say that this match isn't going to be awesome. And I think Fury is going to win the fight, by the way.
Yeah, I have yet to have anybody wait, no, that was a Fury vote on the fight. Okay, so that's different. Most of them have been Wilder at this point. So we'll see where that goes. I want your predictions. Yes, we'll take your predictions all day long. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. You make a really good point, too. And one of the interesting things about the big names is it's a little like Goldilocks. Like, it's, you know, is it too soft? Is it too hard? Like, right in the middle. UFC has so many events, and there are so many fighters. And when you talk to casual fans that are trying to catch up, you feel like you're behind the eight ball all the time. Boxing has the opposite problem. There are so few landmark fights and so few landmark celebrity names that have been made. It feels a little bit more like golf right now, where you've got the one name everybody tunes into. We all know Tiger, but you're still looking for the next chapter of whoever destination viewing is going to be. That's the interesting part about it. Like, there's a middle ground on all of it, not just for the number of fights, but the number of fighters and the number of celebrity fighters that I think has to happen at this point. Because let's remember, when we're talking about the era that was back again, I'm a slave to the moment of Tyson, right? Tyson was the name, but there were at least other names that were worth watching in the rise. Rusty in Michigan, we've heard some first take. I want your take. Where are you on heavyweight boxing being back?
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm really excited about this weekend. I'm a big boxing fan. Loved Tyson back in the day, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think it'll ever get back to where it was because piggyback a little bit on what Jake said. It doesn't have the depth. Now, if you had explosive athletes like a Zion or a Miles Garrett or LeBron James, who might have came up boxing back in the 50s and 60s, and I think that's why there was so much more depth back in the heyday of boxing, because the great athletes elected to box. They're, you know, these guys are not going to do that anymore. They're going to either go football or basketball. Now, this is kind of the outlier because you have two great athletes, and especially Wilder, that could probably play other sports. But, you know, the cream of the crop are going to go and do other sports. So I just think it's going to be hard for boxing to ever get back to as big as it once was. And, yeah, I mean, that's my take.
I think you're right. Thanks for the call. You know, it's a really interesting thing to figure out once you've become, and I don't mean for this to sound the way it sounds, but once you've become what's perceived as a niche sport, right? Once you become sort of an outlier sport, how do you suddenly go in and become dominant again as a sport? That's a great question because you're right. Kids today have more options than ever when they're trying to figure out what sport they want to play and where they can go. And when you start to see the level of celebrity and the level of fame and the level of money and the level of opportunity that comes from other sports compared to boxing, you know, that is a real conversation and options and opportunity, not only from consumer standpoint, where we're all sitting back saying, what are we watching? We have more options than ever on what and how to watch. Well, the same holds true for kids that are deciding what sport they want to play, what they want to participate in. They have more options than ever when they're trying to figure out where they want to go. Now, I got an issue with the tweeter, Tucker. Tucker, we're going to have an issue. Yes, I said when you get two beefy guys going at it, Tucker has now quoted that. And he's Tad Levitard in it. So, Tucker, trying to get me in trouble like you are. You're tattling on me to the Levitard guys, Tucker. I thought we were better than that. I thought we had a community on First Take, Your Take, where we all had each other's backs. Maybe I shouldn't have said two beefy guys going at it, but come on, you didn't have to tell the Levitard guys. Get a lot of thoughts on this. Just a dad and a husband comes in and says, my answer to his boxing back is a question, who's the heavyweight champ, middleweight, and lightweight champ? Not a simple answer it is. Is it because you need more info like WBA, WBC, you got to get unified, and then you can be back soon. That's a popular opinion. We've heard a lot of people talk about how confusing it is to figure out who's great and who isn't great as we continue to break down the state of boxing right now. And getting a lot of thoughts on this fight this weekend being good, but also at the same time, nobody seems to be predicting this fight's going to go the distance, which I think is also surprising. Overwhelming on Twitter coming in saying they think it's going to be a good fight, that it's going to be the second of three fights, but not telling me overwhelming you think it's going to go the distance. Don't forget, going the distance. The NBA this weekend is going the distance on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night before the fight. Oh my God, this matchup. Tomorrow night, Giannis and the Bucks host the Sixers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations in what is a statement game for Joel Embiid, who just came out and told us he's the best in the world. We'll see when he plays the guy that I think is the best in the world. Don't forget to check that out on ESPN Radio. And the great part is you can do that all before the fight. We're going to keep taking your thoughts on this weekend's fight on the heavyweight division. Is it back to where it's been? Is it what everybody's hyped for? Your predictions on the fight. We'll keep getting your take on this weekend's fight. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday. LeBron and the Lakers host the Celtics. Is it just me or is it a huge stinking weekend for the NBA? It's presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. I want to see LeBron and the Lakers, Kemba and the Celtics. I mean, come on. Give me all that action. Woo! On the heels, and then Saturday, you know, that's Sunday. On Saturday, ESPN Radio giving you 76ers taking on the Bucks. Good lord. And we got the fight. It is going to be a weekend for sports fans. That's all I'm saying. In the meantime, keep the lines loaded. We're asking you how close the heavyweight division in boxing is to being back. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take more of your take. I want to get more of your thoughts on this. We're getting a real wide variety of concepts on where the state of boxing is. I love it. We'll get more of that in a second. But there was some NBA conversation going on today on First Take, as the Nets announced yesterday Kyrie Irving out for the remainder of the season with a right shoulder injury. Now, let's be honest. We just had the debate about what the Warriors should do moving forward and the reloaded Warriors coming into next season. They're not the only team now that is going to look at next season and say, okay, we will be stacked, backed, and ready for next year. One of those teams, the Nets. Look out, Knicks. There's another team in New York coming for it. The question is, can KD and Kyrie come in healthy next year? Will they be able to live up to expectations? Stephen A. and Max got heated on this one.
Let me say this, a couple of things. Certainly, I'm no professional athlete. I've had injuries to both shoulders. And the rotator cuff injury that I'm still rehabbing from, going on 8 months, it's a damn nightmare. Okay? So when you
talk about hooks and kneecaps,
it's ridiculous.
You can't lift your rotator cuff.
Hit some small
man. That's legit. You can't move your rotator cuff.
You can do everything else, but it's just a nightmare. Okay? Here's the deal. Having said all of that, I'm happy, and I agree with my brother Tim Legler when he was on Get Up This Morning talking about how it could be the best thing that has happened for Kyrie Irving. Get it fixed. The expectations weren't that great this year. It's about next year and beyond with you and KD. So do whatever you got to do to get it fixed. Having said all of that, let me say this. I'm not concerned about Kyrie because of Kevin Durant. That's his boy. And make no mistake about it, no disrespect to Kyrie whatsoever. The Brooklyn Nets would not have wanted Kyrie with just Kyrie. They wanted Kyrie because Kevin Durant's his man, and they wanted Kevin Durant.
Why wouldn't they want Kyrie with just Kyrie?
Because they view Kyrie as a mercurial talent, a sensational talent, but not a leader. And he's not somebody that they believe they would have needed if they didn't have Kevin Durant too. But I need everybody to understand who we're talking about here. Kevin Durant is all world. He's 6'10 with a 7'6 wingspan, with a handle and a J. This brother averages 27 in his sleep. It's nothing to him. And I predict that's exactly what the hell he's going to do when he comes back. And when you look at the Eastern Conference and the East with him and a healthy Kyrie Irving, the Brooklyn Nets next year are going to be title contenders. I didn't say playoff contenders. I said title contenders. I'm talking about we're going to have a discussion. They're going to be in the damn Eastern Conference Finals.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be a team that you got to reckon with. Everybody look the hell out because KD is coming.
Look,
and if Kyrie is healthy,
look,
with
no
him,
doubt. We need
just
good
like
sports
that
in New York.
Like,
here,
Molly, I'm going to Nets games next year when Kyrie and KD
year
are back. No question. And the Nets are a fun team.
They are, even before they got there. It's a great venue.
You're skipping over a bunch of stuff. The Celtics were better without Kyrie, a large sample size, including in the playoffs. The Nets have been better without Kyrie.
And none of them had KD.
No
That's
doubt.
That's what I'm saying.
No doubt. And Kyrie is better served as the second fiddle to a more dominant player, taller player, basically. If Kyrie was 6'7", this wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
But he's not. So, but the point is, and that's what it'll be to KD. But there is that. You can't just gloss that, like gloss over that. There is that. And then there's KD's injury. Even if you think he's not as reliant on certain things that that injury, suggests might hamper him.
Right.
80% of KD is not an MVP. It's an all-star.
Stop right there.
Really?
Stop right there. Wait a minute, Molly. Wait a minute.
You think 80% of KD is an MVP?
I would remind you, Max Kellerman. Let's say, obviously, he's recovering from injury. So when he comes back, let's just throw aside the notion of him tearing the Achilles again, okay? He's going to be 80%.
Yeah.
I think that he was at about 70 or 75% when he was giving it to the Raptors in the first quarter before ultimately going down.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
saying,
what I'm saying.
I'm saying to you, that's the KD we're going to see.
This is what I will say.
75-80% and 75-80% KD can average 25 a game.
This is what I'll say about KD.
Easy.
The numbers in his prime and everything you just mentioned, including, by the way, his passing, which has become excellent, and his defense became excellent, suggest that he should be in the conversation for greatest player ever.
Yeah.
Now he's won championships, finals, MVPs, but he's not.
Right.
And he's not because he rode the coattails of that other team to put them over the top. If KD wins a championship in Brooklyn as some lesser version of himself, he will be mentioned with LeBron and everyone else right under
Jordan.
Fair
enough, but here's what you're missing. Without the championships, without the trip to Golden State, you do understand Kevin Durant was a Hall of Famer, right?
Of course.
Without Golden State.
No.
Let's understand what we're talking about here.
No doubt.
You can sit up there and malign him all you want to about riding. I'm not saying you are, but I'm saying riding coattails to championships. What I'm saying is Kevin Durant was everything but a champion before the championship.
I'm just not so sure he's going to be a lesser version of himself.
But
I don't believe that.
Okay, you may have faith in that or hope for that, but just the data says that the vast majority of people with his injury afterward are never as good as they were
because
originally.
They were athletes
He's
and their success was predicated on their athleticism. Even though KD is an athlete, the jump shot that he has.
No doubt, but he's also quick. He plays defense.
Answer me this. Show me one player with an Achilles tear that had a J that was compromised because the J was compromised
because
of the Achilles.
The reason I say 70% is because he'll still be able to shoot, but he may not be able to get to the spot as easily anymore. He may not be able to defend the same way anymore.
He's not Kawhi who has to get to a spot. KD can shoot from anywhere. Anywhere.
I'll see you at Barclays Center.
Some are higher
percentage
shots than others.
Look, we need KD and Kyrie to come back above and beyond what they do on the court for the drama that it brings off the court. We need villains in the NBA. We all know that KD, Kyrie together with the Nets, combined with the resurgence of the Warriors, is going to give everybody yet another person, at least a team, that they'll be out there looking for to root against, as so many people do in the NBA, and that creates interest. Don't forget, speaking of interest, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I want to get more of your take in. I'll be honest. When we started this show today and we were planning it, we said, hey, we're going to ask a boxing question. How close is the heavyweight division to being back? We weren't sure what the answer would be. But I'll tell you, if the response on social and the response on the phones is any indication, you're passionate about it. So we're going to let you get more of your take coming up next. How close is the heavyweight division to being back? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More of your take on First Take Your Take coming up next.
Brought to you by Capital One. You know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home addition? Now, imagine saving enough for an addition on that addition. That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns 5 times the national average. Capital One is helping you earn more towards your savings goals. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. I'm so excited I jumped the gun. ESPN News, I'm Jason Fitz. Oh, if you missed any of today's show, go check out the entire thing on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast. That's right. We got a podcast you can get out there. Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? We'll keep getting a little of your take in as we continue to break down everything you need to know about the fight this weekend between Wilder and Fury. But in the meantime, Timothy Bradley Jr. and Leila Ali, two experts on everything you need to know about boxing. Join Max and Stephen A. to give you a prediction of what to expect tomorrow night.
Deontay Wilder always catches his guy. Always. He figures out a way before 12 rounds is up to land that right hand. Always. The thing about Tyson Fury is he got up from it. The question in the rematch is the same thing going into the first fight. Tyson Fury will outbox Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder eventually at some point will land the right hand. Will Tyson Fury get up again? If he does, he'll win. And if he doesn't, he'll lose. It comes down to that.
Layla.
Who are you going with?
No, he can't pick. He can't pick. He's got it. Yeah.
Well, you can pick if you want him. Who are you picking?
Who I'm picking?
Yeah.
Deontay Wilder. The reason why I'm picking Deontay Wilder, and I'm going against the grain. I'm going against the grain, totally. Typically, history says that Muhammad Ali, Frazier, boxers normally win these type of matches. But the fact that Tyson Fury can't stay focused for 36 minutes, that's the problem. And the fact that Deontay Wilder, you know, we always say, Max, and we always say, Stephen A., the punch that you don't see is the one that hurts you. You can see Wilder's punch coming, and once it lands, it's destruction. Doesn't matter if you see it or not. He's going to knock you out.
Layla?
You know what? I hate to pick. I really do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I could see it going either way. I could see Wilder winning by knockout. Mm-hmm. I don't see him winning a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see Fury winning, you know, a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I'm going to go with my gut and say that Wilder will land. You know, and
KO, you know something about KO.
Yeah, but you know, I just want to see a great fight. And I'm not on either side, you know, but that's what probably is going to happen.
Mr. Smith.
You know, it's really, really interesting, and I really, really appreciate everybody's loquacious tendencies. We got to talk, and act like it's suspense. This ain't no damn suspense here. Here's what's going to happen, all right? Tyson Fury is going to outbox Deontay Wilder for a few rounds. Why? Because Deontay Wilder already dropped him twice and fully believes, I'm going to put this boy to sleep. I just have to wait. Similar to the rematch against Ortiz. Ortiz had him in trouble in the seventh round of the first fight. But Deontay Wilder took him out in 10. The second go round, they go against each other, and everybody's getting excited because Ortiz is boxing a good fight. And then one punch right to the top of his noggin, put him to sleep, put him in yesteryear. That's what's going to happen here. Tyson Fury is going to outbox Deontay Wilder for a few rounds. Deontay Wilder is not going to throw but so many punches early. And then all of a sudden, one right, straight right. I'm even predicting a damn punch. There won't be a left hook this time following the right. It'll just be one straight right. Right here. And Tyson Fury is going to get knocked back to the UK and it's going to be over. It's Deontay Wilder by KO. By KO in 8. Period.
Did you bet?
Period.
Back to the UK.
He gonna get knocked back to the UK.
Tell me,
always the underdog in these fights, but he never loses.
Oddly specific prediction there from Stephen A. Smith. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, creators of the Name Your Price tool. Choose from a range of coverage options and pick the price that works for you. Visit Progressive.com today. I want to get more of your take on this before we get out of here. How close is the heavyweight division in boxing to being back? Ken in Jersey. Ken, give us your take. Where are we on this?
I'm glad to see boxing together. I'm 59. I've seen every fight you can name. And being close to the glory days of the 90s, not even close. I mean, they talk about Devontae Wilder. I got to be honest. In the 90s, he'd be a sparring partner for Lennox Lewis and Holyfield and Foreman. He's good. The best there is today. But somebody said he's the greatest right-hand puncher of all time, and I want to laugh. The guys like Ernie Shavers, like Larry Holmes. I mean, he's good. Tyson Fury's a joke. He's going to get knocked his ass out from one. Guarantee it. Stephen Smith was the only one that had it right. I mean, Fury's okay. But, I mean, I just think he's a joke. And I'm going to see him in the movies, and I can't wait to see him knocked out.
Wow, that's strong takes. I mean, it's going to say, just waiting to see him get knocked out. Look, we do have an instance here where we have a boxer versus a personality to a certain extent, not taking anything away from Fury. But Wilder, obviously, at this point, we think of Wilder and we think of his accomplishments. Fury, for more reasons than just what he's done in the ring, we think of all of his struggles he's gone through. We have a little bit of a contrasting style on how they got here as personalities and stories. But the fact is, they may not be as good as the heyday, but they are definitely the stories, and that means something. Anthony in Florida, where are you? Is the heavyweight division close to being back to you?
No, man. To be honest, not even close. Back in the 90s, I feel like this rematch right here is Bob Arum at his finest. The last fight, clearly, if you are a boxing fan and you look at numbers and the way that the boxing goes, Tyson Fury outboxed Deontay Wilder hands down. The judges' scorecard, I didn't agree with 115-111 Wilder, 112-114 Fury, and of course the draw around the 113-113. If you look at the copy box numbers, I mean, we're talking Deontay only landed 71 punches of 430 thrown. I understand it only takes one of those punches, but if you're in a boxing match, a 12-round championship fight, you need to learn how to box. Fury might have his number. Fury might switch up the game and come straight for him. If that happens, we haven't seen Deontay Wilder in the first three rounds have to fight back. He's usually the aggressor. If he switches it up, Fury may have a chance. Boxing-wise, Fury is the better boxer. Punching-wise, Wilder is the better puncher. I'm taking Wilder in round seven.
Wow, I love the prediction. And look, the analysis is great there. And you also mentioned something that we absolutely don't want out of this, which is for it to come down to the judges' scorecard. If there's anything we don't need out of this, we don't need another controversy. I've said it before. I'll say it again. What we need in sports in general for them to be decided in the ring, on the court, on the field, and not to have the referees or officials be a part of the conversation when all is said and done. That is what I'm desperately hoping, above all else, that we get out of this, is a fight that we can talk about for the fight and a fight that we're not talking about for the people that judged the fight. What I know is we'll be talking about it Monday, but coming up next, former heavyweight champ Larry Holmes will join the Will Cain Show. We're just getting started on the coverage. Larry Holmes joining Will Cain next to talk about Wilder Fury. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great weekend. It's been First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz.